Amen. Hey, as you take a seat, can we just give this mini worship team a round of applause today? Awesome. Amen. Really sweet to worship God and hear our voices and just kind of quietly spend time with Him. Again, good morning. My name is Ryan. I'm the lead pastor here for those that are new or visiting. And you are the faithful crew that show up for church even though there's a 10 a.m. Seahawks game right now. So give yourselves a round of applause for loving Jesus. It's awesome. That's the power of DVR, right? You know, it's amazing. Also, kind of wild, both of our teams, you know, many of you are Seahawks fans, and a lot of you probably don't care about football, and I'm a Chicago Bears fan. Both of our teams are 1-0, right? If you watched the Bears last week, that was a miracle. You know, we were down 17-0 at half, and we came back and we won 24-17 without scoring an offensive touchdown. It's amazing. That is Chicago Bears football, if anything, all right? That is what I grew up with, so it was like being at home watching that game anyway. All right, last week we started a new series that we're calling Arbor Is. And in this new series, we are reacquainting and reminding ourselves of what we're doing here as we gather together as a church and why we're doing it. And last week I shared with you the definition of what Arbor is. Do any of you remember what it is? The definition? No? Do we need a reminder? Yeah, here we go. This is what it is. Arbor is a community that gathers together, following Jesus, growing in generosity, and going in love. Remember, many of us, we were here last week. We said that together. Arbor is a community that gathers together, following Jesus, growing in generosity, and going in love. And each and every week, what we're going to do is we're going to take a piece of that definition, we're going to grab it, and we're going to break it down, and we're going to learn how we can become more of what God wants us to become as a community of faith, as a family that gathers together week in and week out. And last week, we spent our time learning about how fundamentally we are a community that gathers together. And what does that mean? Well, what it means is that this thing called Christianity is not all about your individual spiritual journey with Jesus. It isn't all about you figuring out how you can personally be a better Christian on your own. We are essentially a people who gather together. It is a non-negotiable about being a follower of Jesus, is that we are a people that get together and gather together. It is essential for our faith. And we saw last week that this is so essential for our faith because when we gather here, our faith is encouraged as we gather. And not only that, but we are meeting with the presence of God in a unique and special way. And our faith is empowered as we gather together as well. Community gathering together is a non-negotiable for us here at Arbor, which is why our simple challenge last week, does anyone remember what our simple challenge was last week? Anyone? Gather more. Exactly. Real simple. We were called to gather more. Whatever that might be for your next step, and for some of you, it means being more intentional about coming to church on Sundays. For some of you, it means getting even deeper into our community and joining a group. Whereas for others of you, you're like, no, I want to spend more time with the people here and be more intentional about engaging in relationship. Either way, we were called last week to gather more because, listen, we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. And what can't we do on our own? We can't follow Jesus on our own. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, following Jesus. That's the next part of our definition here. Arbor, our church, we are a community that follows Jesus. That's not revolutionary. This is a church. That makes sense, right? We're not just a community that gathers together to socialize. We're a community that gathers together for a specific goal, for a specific reason, and that's to follow Jesus. And again, this should be no surprise. We're a church. And that phrase, following Jesus, it's actually right in our mission statement here at Arbor, which is this. We are a people helping people find and follow Jesus. That's our mission statement here at Arbor. Very simple. We are people who are helping other people find and follow Jesus. But that mission statement, it begs the question, what does it actually mean to follow Jesus? What does that mean? Why is that our primary focus? And why do we care about it so much that we put it in our mission statement? Well, that is what we're going to talk about today. But before we go any further, let me just commit our time together to Jesus and bring this before Him right now. Let's pray. Jesus, we just want to bring this time of teaching before You. And I pray that you would get me out of the way and that you would speak your message that you want for your church here today. We want to be a people that follow you. And so, God, I pray that through this teaching, your Spirit would impart on our hearts and our minds what it means to follow you and where you would be calling us and challenging us to move deeper into our pursuit, our followership, our discipleship of you, Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Last week, I shared with all of you how I grew up in church. And one of the biggest changes for me growing up in church was when my family started going to a new church. Have any of you switched churches and gone to a new church before, maybe growing up, or maybe, yeah, most of us have. And so I remember in middle school, my parents, we left the church we were at, and we started going to a new church. And it was kind of scary because, I mean, it was a bigger church. It was a thriving church. It was exciting. And they had this larger youth group that was like super exciting. There were a lot of students. They spent part of their time like singing passionately, which I had never seen before as a middle school student. I saw these middle school students worshiping Jesus, and I was like, where am I right now? This is crazy. And like the messages were relevant, and the youth pastor was young and cool, and man, I wanted to be just like that youth pastor. I was like, dude, here's a guy who loves Jesus, who's teaching the Bible, and he's not a total dork. Like, this is amazing. Because all the pastors I knew up until that point were just like nerds, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's the worst. But this guy was like really cool, and I wanted to be like him. I wanted to spend time with him. I honestly, like, there was one youth group. It was one of the first youth groups that I went to, this youth group, and I so badly wanted to just be a part of it and be engaged. I went to like every youth group, every event, but one of the first ones I was there, he was wearing, this is back in like the mid to late 90s, he was wearing Old Navy track pants. Does anyone remember the Old Navy track pant phenomenon from like 30 years ago or something? And he was wearing them, and he's like, listen, next week, whoever's wearing a pair of these track pants, you get a Shamrock Shake from McDonald's. And I was like, I gotta be a part of that, right? So I went home from youth group, and I was like, Mom, we've gotta go to Old Navy. I've gotta get a pair of these track pants. And my mom was like, all right, I don't know what church we're going to now, but like, we'll do it. And so we did, and I went to youth group the next week. I was the only kid who wore track pants. And I never got a Shamrock Shake, right? But listen, here's the thing. I share that story because I was trying to model my life after this youth pastor, right? Like, I wanted to be just like him. I started playing guitar because he sometimes played guitar and led worship. I wanted to watch the same movies and listen to the same music as him. In fact, much of my music and movie taste is because of this youth pastor. He had a massive impact on my life. We actually still have a friendship. We were texting just the other week. Why do I share that story this morning? I share all of that to say that all of us are following someone. All of us are following someone, whether it was years and years ago in middle school or high school, or whether it's right now at our work, or maybe it's someone online through Instagram or Facebook. All of us are following someone. Essentially, all of us, whether we follow Jesus or not, we are all disciples. We're disciples of someone, of something. A disciple is a follower, and all of us are following people and looking to other people for cues on how to live life and how to live life well. And here's what I want to propose to all of you today. I want to propose that there is no one on planet Earth, no one in human history, worth following more than Jesus, that he is truly worth following. There's no one worth following more than him. Dallas Willard said this: there is no problem in human life that apprenticeship to Jesus cannot solve. That's a massive statement, isn't it? There is no problem in human life that apprenticeship to Jesus cannot solve. And there are some of you here today who you are exploring this idea of following Jesus, and you've never really pursued intentionally an apprenticeship to Jesus. Today's message is for you. But there are others of you here today, and I'd imagine a majority here, who have been following Jesus for years, maybe decades. But maybe you feel like your walk with Jesus has stagnated, that it's hit this wall, and you're wondering, like, what is this following Jesus thing really about? Because I think I've been doing it, but I feel like I've hit this wall. If that's you, then this message today is for you. Regardless of where you're at today, hear this. The way of life presented by Jesus, taught by Jesus, lived by Jesus, is truly the way, the truth, and the life. It is the ultimate roadmap for experiencing what Jesus talks about in the Gospels, about having life and having it abundantly. It's the way of life that leads to transformation, to change. John Mark Comer, in his book, Practicing the Way, wrote this: transformation is possible if we are willing to arrange our lives around the practices, rhythms, and truths that Jesus himself did, which will open our lives to God's power to change. And here at Arbor, we believe that that transformation, that life and that life abundantly is possible when we make the decision to follow Jesus, to disciple our lives under Jesus, to apprentice under him. It's in our mission statement. It's part of who we are. But again, it begs the question, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, it means organizing your life around three main goals. And they're as follows. Listen, be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do as Jesus did. Those are the three goals. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It means being with him, becoming like him, and doing as he did. And so a few words on each of these. First of all, be with Jesus, being with Jesus. There are certain people in our lives that we just love being with, right? Do you have that person in your life? Someone who you just love to be with? Like for me, the person that I love to be with is my wife, Carrie. I love being, many of you were like, I hope he's about to say his wife. You know, she's right there. She's right there, yeah. I love being with Carrie. And like at the end of every workday here at the office, like it gets harder and harder to stay in my chair at my desk because all I want to do is go home and be with Carrie. And it's not like we're doing anything amazing or exciting, like I'll get in the house and maybe help clean some stuff up, help with dinner, check in with her and the kids. Maybe we'll talk some more, we'll go for a walk, and you know, eventually we kind of end up on the couch either reading books or just, you know, on our phones or on TV. No, again, nothing spectacular is happening, but that's my happy place. That's where I want to be. I want to be with her. Do you have someone like that in your life who you just want to be with? You just want to be with them. This is the first thing, listen, that Jesus invites you to. He doesn't invite you to do anything. He doesn't invite you to become something. He just simply invites you to be with him, to spend time with him. And we see it throughout the Gospels as he invites disciple after disciple to follow him. We are still in the middle of our study in Mark. We should probably wrap that up sometime around the next election cycle, I'd imagine. But we're still in the middle of our study of Mark. But time and time again, what we see is Jesus invites people just to be with him. We see Jesus inviting Simon Peter and Andrew into a relationship where they would be with him, Mark 1:17. He says, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Jesus invites Levi to leave his old life behind, to spend time with Jesus, Mark 2:14. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. And then finally, what we see later on in the Gospel of Mark is this invitation isn't just for a select few elite group of disciples. This invitation is for everyone. He invites an entire crowd to follow him, to give up their lives and follow him, Mark 8:34. Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And so this right here is undeniably the most important and first aspect of following Jesus. It is simply to be with him. It is to spend every waking moment in his presence with him as the baseline of our entire life. But how do we do that? How do we be with him? How does that work out practically? Well, the first thing I want us to see is a promise that Jesus makes to us. And he made this promise to his disciples and to us the night before his death. He said this in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you. And what? Be with you forever. So what's going on here? Well, Jesus, he is promising. He is promising that even though he's going to be crucified and die and be buried, even though he's going to rise again, and even though he's going to go away and ascend back to heaven, he promises to send another just like him, an intercessor, a helper to be with us. And this is how we be with Jesus, via the Holy Spirit, God's gift to us, his presence to us. But again, that's just a promise. It's not a practice. That's not how we do it. We need a practice. And just a few verses later, actually, in John 15, verse 4, Jesus gives us this simple instruction. Listen, he says, abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. This word for abide is this Greek word meno. And this Greek word meno can mean other things: stay, dwell, or even make your home in. And so you can translate this verse from Jesus, this saying, as make your home in me as I make my home in you. And in fact, if you read the entire passage, this one little word, this Greek word meno, appears 10 times in this little teaching. Jesus was trying to make a point, and the point was this: if you want to be with Jesus, make your home in my presence, the Spirit, and never leave. Let me say that again. If you want to be with Jesus, you must make your home in his presence, in the Spirit, and never leave that spot. And so my question for you right now is this: where are you making your home? Where are you making your home? What are you abiding in? Because all of us here, we make our home in someone, something, some place where we feel safe, where we feel like, man, this is where I want to be right now. This is really important for us to identify, because wherever we abide, that's where our fruit is going to be produced, for good or for bad. And so, like, listen, if we're rooted in the endless scroll of social media, we're going to become the kind of people who abide in that space. We're going to become angry and anxious and arrogant and distracted. If we're the kind of people who make our home in this simple pursuit of pleasure, then that's the kind of people we're going to become. We're going to bear fruit. We're going to bear the fruit of compulsiveness, of addiction, of running away from our pain. Where are you rooted? What are you making your home in? Because if we're rooted in the life of God, then listen, being with him, being with Jesus, then slowly but surely, we will start to bear the fruit of being rooted in Jesus, of making our home in Jesus, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We will start to bear that out in our lives. And we do this essentially — this is where it gets kind of funky — we do this essentially by being in two places at once. This is how we practice the presence of Jesus. It's not something that you just have to like cordon off and be in an isolated room by yourself, and this is my 10 minutes of being with Jesus time. You can have that. That's good. That's important. But listen, you can drink your coffee and be with Jesus. You can drive on your morning commute and rest in the presence of Jesus. You can make dinner at night and be with Jesus. A.W. Tozer, he called this habitual conscious communion. And he wrote this: at the heart of the Christian message is God himself waiting for his redeemed children to push into conscious awareness of his presence. And so when you read your Bible in the morning, listen, it doesn't necessarily mean something magical is going to happen and you're going to be given some nugget that — listen, we read our Bibles in the morning to remind ourselves that God is speaking to us each and every day, because we're forgetful people, in order to practice his presence throughout the day. As we pray throughout the day, what we're doing is we're practicing his presence time and time again. This is what God wants for you. This is what he's waiting for, as A.W. Tozer said. But understand, hear this, church, it's a choice. It's a choice that you have to make in your own volition, that you want to practice this, that you want to do this, to slow down your life. And just like Jesus — this is his invitation to you, this is my invitation to you — to slow down your life. And just like Jesus said in John 1, to come and see. That's the invitation for us as a church, to come and experience the kind of life that Jesus has put on offer, and to see if it really is everything he says it is, if it really is life and life abundantly. That's the first aspect of what it means to follow Jesus, to be with him. But that's not all there is. What we'll find as we take Jesus up on this offer and spend time with him and abide with him as we make our home in him is that, spirit willing, we will eventually, listen, become like Jesus. We'll eventually become like him. And essentially, listen, this is what it really means to become like Jesus. It means to become like the kind of person that Jesus perfectly embodied. And what kind of person was that? Well, the ultimate purpose of being with Jesus is to become a person of love like Jesus. It is to become just like him. Listen, as I mentioned earlier, we are all following someone. We're all looking to someone else for cues on how to live life. Most of us spend time with these people, and whether we recognize it or not, the people that you spend the most time with, you're becoming like them. Whether it's in person or online, on social media, wherever it is, we are becoming like them. We are following, listen, and you are becoming someone. You're becoming someone. And so the big question is, who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? As you look at the habits and practices of your life, as you look at the kind of people you spend time with, as you look at what you intake on the internet, who are you becoming? C.S. Lewis said this, I love this. He said that we're all on a trajectory to become, listen, either immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. Which one do you want to become? I would love to say that my life is leading me on that trajectory to become an everlasting splendor, but all of us have met a person or two later in life that was more of an immortal horror, right? Right? Not being mean, but like it happens. We've seen this before. Listen, that end result is possible for all of us in this room if we are not intentional about who we're spending time with and who we're becoming. The Apostle Paul, he writes about this slow but certain transformation that takes place in one of his letters to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he writes this, listen, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory," that is essentially being with Jesus right there. As we do this, Paul says, "we are then being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." As we spend time with Jesus, the scriptures remind us that we are being transformed into his image. This is, listen, church, what formation in the way of Jesus is. It is the process of being formed into people of love in Christ. That is what the practices of Jesus is all about. That is what following Jesus is all about. It's about becoming someone else, someone new, a new creation, about becoming a person of love in Christ. But it's important, really, to remember that this transformation is not instant. Any one of you who have been following Jesus for any length of time, you are quickly awakened to the reality that this is not an overnight thing. This takes time. It'll feel like you're moving two steps forward and one step back. Listen, honestly, sometimes it'll feel like you're doing two steps forward and three steps back. Sometimes it'll just feel like you're spinning your wheels. But listen, Jesus does not demand perfection. He just demands faithfulness. That's what he wants. He wants your committed faithfulness in his presence, slowly but surely, according to his Spirit, gently shaping you to become like him. Like, for example, when I was in fifth grade, I started to pick up the sport golf because I was just thinking, what do I want to do in my retirement? I want to golf. And so I should get started early on this. No, the real reason why I started golfing was because my first love was basketball. That was my first love. Loved basketball. The problem was that in middle school, I got cut by like five different teams, right? Yeah, all right, everyone. If I haven't told that story, I will tell it probably for like a sermon on perseverance or something like that. But yeah, I got cut five times, just didn't have the stuff. And so I've had to find a different way, and so it was going to be golf. But when I started playing golf when I was like in fifth grade, I was terrible. I didn't know how to swing the club. I didn't even know how to hold or grip the club. I was totally lost. But over time, through practice, through more serious practice at like a driving range or on a golf course, or kind of like in my backyard, chipping, you know, around my backyard, I became acquainted with the game of golf. I learned the proper mechanics of a swing. I learned how to grip a club. And over time, you could say, wow, he's a golfer. And listen, I actually made the high school golf team. So like, I feel pretty good about that. But listen, I didn't say I was a good golfer, all right? I know what I'm doing, but over time, that took time. It took practice. And in the same way with following Jesus, listen, with the aim of becoming like him, becoming a person of love, it requires time. It requires intentionality. It requires practice. And this practice, listen, is best done in a tight-knit community, guided by teaching that doesn't merely inform us with facts, but gives us a fresh vision of what life here can truly be, that it can be life and life abundantly, all fueled and led by the Holy Spirit. In fact, check out this diagram about this theory of change. Let's see if we can see that up there. You guys can all see that? Is sort of, yeah, okay. Let me explain it to you. Listen, we become like Jesus. We are formed into Christ-like people of love when we receive teaching on the way of Jesus. That's in the top part of the triangle. And then we engage with the practices, that's one of the bottom corner ones, within a community. We talked about that last week, the importance of gathering together. This is not a solo endeavor. We do this with other people, and all of it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And again, listen, I share this diagram with you because perhaps some of you have been following Jesus for some length of time, but you feel like your spiritual life has stagnated, that you've hit a wall, and you wonder if this Christianity thing is really all that it's cracked up to be. And you're like, I've been doing this for some time, but now it just feels like it's falling flat right now. Perhaps it's because you have not yet been given the right tools. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe the sensitivity in your spirit that something is wrong, it isn't because something's broken inside of you or something's broken in the way of Jesus, but maybe you just haven't been equipped with the appropriate tools to take that next step in your relationship with Jesus. Following Jesus means being with him, becoming like him, and finally, one more thing, doing as Jesus did. Do as Jesus did. Do as he did, because you see, this thing called Christianity, it's just another word for following Jesus, and it isn't about making sure that you have this exact right theology, and Christianity isn't all about believing a set of facts and then just making minor adjustments to our lives and our schedules here and there. Christianity, the way of Jesus, is the way we as human beings experience, listen, and encounter the fullness of the gospel. And it's the way that we live into the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven, as kingdom citizens. Essentially, following Jesus is not about acquiring or having. Following Jesus is about becoming and doing. Amen. That's what following Jesus is about. It's about becoming and doing. It's not necessarily what would Jesus do. It's more like what would Jesus do if he were me in my situation and in my life? What would Jesus do? And then do as Jesus did. Some of Jesus' last words to his disciples were this: go and make disciples of all people. Matthew 28. These words would come as no surprise to the disciples at the very end of their time with Jesus, because the whole point of spending all of those days, all of those weeks, all of those years with Jesus wasn't so that they could become better people or spiritually more mature people. They spent all that time with their rabbi. Disciples would spend all of their time with a rabbi in order to be sent out by that rabbi to go do what that rabbi did. And this is what Jesus is doing at the end of his ministry with his disciples. He's saying, now you go out and do what I did. You've spent time with me. You've become like me. Now go do as I did. And again, this didn't catch the disciples off guard. This is exactly what Jesus called them to at the very beginning in Matthew 4. Jesus says this. He says, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At the very beginning, the whole aim was to go out and do what Jesus did, to fish for people. And listen, that phrase there, fishing for people, is not some sort of like clever preacher pun that Jesus was like, oh, I'm talking to a bunch of fishers. Now I'll say, hey, you guys could be fishers of people. Aren't I the cleverest teacher? That's not what Jesus is doing there. What Jesus is doing there, this was actually a title that was used back then about rabbis. It was this honorary title that you would be a fisher of people. that you would be the kind of person that could teach about a way of life and kind of win people's imagination over to a better way of living and draw them into this new way of life. Jesus is like, that's what I want to shape you to become, and that's what he wants to shape all of you to become as well. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to live with him, to practice his presence, to become like him, and to be the kind of people who spend time with others and invite them into this way of life. And to be like, listen, I know a better way. It's not going to make everything easy. In fact, it's going to make certain things harder. But listen, it truly is a life and life abundant. That's what it is. This is what Jesus calls us to do as he did. Here's the million-dollar question, though. How do we do this practically? How do we practically realign our lives to be in step with the Spirit and the teachings of Jesus? Well, simple. We engage more intentionally with those practices in community, in a community of Jesus. And I just want to refer again to that picture of the theory of change again. Let's look at that again. Again, you see, I think many of us have that top part down. We've got the teaching thing down. We show up to church on some Sundays. We listen to podcasts. Maybe we see stuff on Instagram or on YouTube. I think we've got the teaching thing down. We've got all that kind of stuff. But I think that so many of us are missing out on the intentional engagement of the practices within a community. And so how can we do that well? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we have a plan here at Arbor, right? Not just concepts of a plan. We have a full plan, all right? Don't ever say this church didn't get political. No, I'm just kidding. That's about the extent that we'll get. Listen, our focus for groups this year is on practicing the way. It isn't new necessarily. We've spent this last year with smaller groups of people going through some of this curriculum, spending time learning what it means to pray and to fast and to spend time in solitude. But what we're doing this fall is like next level, okay? You see, what our groups are engaging in this fall, it is the future of Arbor. It is the future of our church. Certainly these Sunday morning gatherings are so super important. They are essential to our community life. But at the core of our church, what I believe is really going to make our church, and make us most effective, not just in these walls, but outside in our communities, is doing this. Is this intentional pursuit of apprenticeship to Jesus in community with others. And this fall, just about each and every group here at Arbor is going to be engaging with a very specific curriculum that Dallas Willard decades ago would have called a curriculum of Christ-likeness, and said it was the most, like it was like the most essential thing, but that it was missing from so many churches, this curriculum of Christ-likeness. It takes into account that theory of change that we talked about, and it's going to introduce and equip you to follow Jesus more intentionally, to engage with the practices, to implement what's called a rule of life. And if you don't know what that is, then you need to sign up for the group and learn about it. All of these things that will enable us to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what he did. Listen, look at all these groups. Look at all these groups that we have. Do we have that slide with like all of the groups on it? Let's show that. Look, here are a few, right? We've got online groups on Monday. We've got a group with the Kellys on Monday. Arbor Women meeting Tuesday morning. Go to the next one. Look at all these groups. There's even more. Isn't that amazing? Look how many groups we have. So many groups. In the morning and at night. Larger groups and smaller groups. Groups that meet in person. Groups that meet online. Groups for men. Groups for women. Groups with childcare. It's all of, that's like almost like a Dr. Seuss book right there. It's all available to you. It is all available. All you have to do, listen, church, is take the next step and sign up. That's the one thing that I can't do for you. If I could, man, I might, right? But this is your decision, and it's your choice. And if you don't do it, listen, you're not a worse Christian for not doing it. If you're not ready for this next step, that's totally okay. But I'm really eager. I'm really eager for this class to start, and I'm really eager for all of you to come and see and to taste and see the goodness of God through one of these groups. Some of the groups are already like almost full, but there's going to be plenty of space for everyone, I believe. But all you have to do is go to arborchurch.com/groups, right? Arborchurch.com/groups and sign up there. Sign up. That's the next step. If you're not involved in a group yet, this fall, sign up now. There are plenty of opportunities, plenty of space for everyone. We just want to create opportunities for everyone to follow Jesus. Because at the core of what it means to be Arbor is that we are a community that is intentionally following Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we are just grateful for your life. And we're grateful for the example of your life. We're grateful, Lord, that you lived a perfect life and that you modeled for us what it means to be a person of love. And Lord Jesus, we first and foremost want to thank you for our salvation. That because of the life you lived and the death that you died, Lord, we can have access to the Father and we can have this relationship, but it doesn't stop there. You call us into a greater life where we practice that same faith day in and day out by practicing your presence, by becoming more like you, and then being sent out as maturing followers of Jesus, doing as you did in our workplaces, in our homes, in our family, in our families with our friends, God. Lord, I am eager and I really desire for this church to be a church that follows you. We might not have all the bells and whistles and special events and all the things, Lord, but Jesus, I pray that you would make us a community that is passionate about one thing, and that is your son, Jesus. Following you, intentionally pursuing you with others. And would you bless us, God, especially in these first few weeks as we do this, Lord, with just a view of the transformation that you can do inside of us. Well, we know it's not going to happen overnight, but God, we do pray that you would give us a glimpse of the progress, Lord, so that we would be inspired and encouraged to press on and to continue to follow you. I pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and sing this last song together.